Hello, everyone. Welcome. And today is Monday, December 4th, 2023. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And as always, I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. It is a beautiful, coolish day here in sunny Southern California, but it is a good day. Of course, I always have to say it, whatever platform you are listening, be it live or on the replay, thank you very much. Everyone is always appreciated. Hello, Brina, Brina, welcome. Hey, Frankie. Shorty V, how are you, girl? Lou Rock, welcome back. And I'm just going to upload today's outro. Hey, Blunt Ninja, welcome. Hey, Minnesota, welcome to you. Okay, so I did have another topic, but I changed it. I changed it last night, but I don't know if any of you guys have been following or know who Terri Schiavo was, but she was the one who really got the right to life movement started. And I'm mixed about a couple of things, but I just want to take time to talk about it today. So, hey, fair use, welcome. So, Terri Schiavo was I do believe she was either 26 or 28 years old, collapsed in her home, in Florida back in, I do believe it was like 1994 or something. I'll have to look it up to get the exact date, but, she apparently had a stroke, and after spending 2 years, I'm sorry, not 2 years, 2 months in the hospital, it was concluded by the doctors that she would always be in a vegetative state. Now, her husband, Michael, said that Terri never wanted to live like that and wanted to let her go because she was being kept alive via a machine. So that is where Terri's parents come in. So her parents went to court, and they fought her husband to keep her alive where he wanted to pull the plug. So my question is, and then the public got into it. You know, it became national news. The public got involved. There were some people who were on Michael's side saying, you know, let her go. You know, she shouldn't have to live like this. And then there were people on her parents' side who said, no, that's murder. What right do you have? Got to the point where then Governor Butch got involved. I mean, it just, you know, it became this whole national thing. So my question is, when should public opinion be silenced, and when does family, who has to say so? And are we at a point in our lives where, when you're 18 years old, you need to decide, do you want a DNR? Because if something happens to you, then you may want to go, but your parents may want to keep you alive. Who has the say-so? Who has the say-so? Who has the right if you are not capable of making the decision on your own? Now, I'm not talking about assisted suicide. I'm talking about if you're in a state where you would potentially live in a vegetative state, and, you know, Terry's mother always said that, you know, she knows we're here. It would be wrong to let her go, but she had no life. Her life was in a hospital bed. And if you saw her from the time she, before her accident, to when she passed away 7 years later, because they were in this court fight for 7 years, she wasn't even remotely the same looking person. And when they did finally pull the plug on her, so to speak, or I'm sorry, when they pulled the plug, her heart kept beating and she was alive. And they went to court again, and it was another back and forth. And her feeding tube was reattached. She couldn't eat. She was a vegetable. Her mind was not working. Her body was, her organs were, but her mind was gone. So it was, you know, a court again. So then when Michael Schiavo won again to have the feeding tube taken out, she lived, I do believe it was like 14 days or so, and she passed away. She passed away basically from starvation, which I think in itself is cruel. But at the same time, had they pulled the plug way before, she would have just passed on, and that would have been it. So, again, my question is, who has the right? Is it your husband? If you're your husband or the wife, do you have the right to do you have the right to override the husband or the wife? I'm sorry, Shorty. I thought you wanted to come up. Do you have the right to override the husband or the wife? Do your parents have say so of an adult child who is married? Where does that line go? And does the government have a right to intervene and say, no, you know, you have to reinsert this tube or take the tube out? Because when Governor Bush had the tube reinserted, Michael Schiavo went over him to an appeals court, and the appeals court shot down what was called Terry's law and said that, no, you can't do that. So they overrode it. And that's when the feeding tube came out. So Brina said, did Terry sign a DNR? But regardless, I would feel her husband has the final word since she chose him as her partner. Blunt says, I think the spouse should be the one to make the call. I know I wouldn't want to be kept alive by a machine. And Lou says, yeah, being bedridden takes a toll fast. That's no way to live, Brina says. No worries, Shorty. Lou says, I had the rights for my dad. Mom gave me all the rights. She was too lost to make any decisions at the time. So, you know, and then that's another thing. Is it cruel that you're keeping your loved one alive by a machine? So I'm not going to say necessarily is it cruel, but is it selfish? Were her parents being selfish because even though she lived 7 years, mainly through court, you know, going to court, you know, I mean, because people are saying, well, Michael Schiavo was making money because he sued the parents, but all of his money were spent on attorneys. The people who got rich on both sides were the attorneys. So again, you know, to me, I think that it's selfish for a loved one to want to keep you alive. But your heart is being, you're alive because a machine is making your heart beat, or you're alive because a feeding tube is giving you, you know, food in order to live. Because I don't know. I just think that at some point you have to let them go. And in terms of the public, to hell with what the public thinks, because in my opinion, the public is not going through your angst. The public is not paying your hospital bills. The public is not taking the emotional toll that you are. And of course, public opinion is everywhere. I know I throw my 2 cents in. I mean, we all do. But when should public opinion step back? And it's like, you are not in my house. You need to take your public opinion and go over there, because this is between me and mine. And Shorty says, right, that's right. You know, and another thing is, even though people may not be in the position to complete a DNR, you have to, my opinion again, you have to realistically think, what would this person want? What would this person want? I mean, even if it were a child, you know, who, you know, may not know what a DNR is, but would your child want to live connected to a machine, not being able to go anywhere, speak? I mean, might not even know what is going on, probably not even aware that you're even there. What, you know, do you realistically have to look at what would this person really want? Would they want to live like this? Because I would not want to live connected to a machine that made my heart beat. I would not want my family to go through it. I would not want them to have the burden of feeling guilty if they don't come visit me, you know, every single day. And then all of a sudden, every single day comes to a couple times a week. And then it comes to, they come by once a week. And then, you know, they're calling the hospice place or the hospital just to see, you know, how I'm doing. And then all of a sudden, they just disappear. You know, do you want to put that burden on them? Hey, Christian, welcome. Lou says, my dad begs me not to let him suffer now. My kids don't know how to react at all. Begged him not to suffer. Okay, now my kids don't know how to react at all. You know, so again, I ask, were the Schindlers, who were Terry Schiavo's parents, were they being selfish? Were they being selfish to drag this out for 6 years to keep their daughter alive, knowing that one day the day was going to come when she was going to pass? But was she already gone when she had that massive stroke? Was she already gone? And even though your daughter was alive, or your son, your mom, your dad, whomever, were they really? Or were they just there? And how much of a toll does it take out of you? And when that person's gone, is there that sigh of relief? Be it out of you're thankful that they're finally gone, or just relief that I don't have to deal with this anymore. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, because I do believe that there are some people who, as much as they love their loved ones, when their loved ones pass, if they're in a situation where they're bedridden for a certain amount of time, I believe that there is that sigh of relief that they're gone. So, and Blunt, yes, she was gone after the stroke. You know, so yes, people have strokes every day, and some of them serious, some of them not. And there are people who have come back 100% from a serious stroke. There are people who have had minor strokes that turn into something more serious, and they pass. I mean, you never know what is going to happen, but if you do know that that person is no longer there and they're just this shell, do you really want to see them like that? And again, I say, is that your selfishness? You know, when you think of all the, you know, all the money that was spent. And then I have this other question. In terms of insurance, are insurance companies, because I thought about this too. Are insurance companies, if they know that the medical opinion came back, one opinion, two opinion, three, that this person was not going to have a viable life, that they were going to be in a vegetative state, the only thing keeping them alive was a machine, should insurance companies have to continue to pay out? Should they be allowed to say, well, no, we're not spending this money? And then does that mean the family goes to sue the insurance? And Lou says hospitals can save more people than they choose to. No, Lou, I'm not saying that. I think that you're absolutely right. But my question is, they can't save everyone. If you know that you're in a vegetative state and you're not coming back, if the insurance company said no to the hospital, I guarantee you the hospitals would not have that bed open for you. They would tell you that you had to leave. Okay, so Blunt says insurance should not have a say. That's opening Pandora's box. But what if your insurance, I mean, for a lot of people, the only way that they are able to get medical care is because of insurance. As soon as the, you know, if you don't have money, pretty much you're at the county or you're just out, period. You know, you're doing a GoFundMe to get a Band-Aid at the hospital that's $10, as opposed to you just going to CVS or Walgreens or wherever and, you know, buying a box for $3. So can I get mad at my insurance if they say that they're not going to pay to help me keep my vegetative relative going when doctors have said there's no hope? You know, so that's what I'm asking. you know, and then again, you know, because I think that people don't really pay attention to DNRs. You know, a couple of years ago, when I went to the doctor, I went over to them and I asked for the forms, you know, for the medical, you know, all the medical stuff, and I filled it out. You know, if this should happen, this is what I want. And I went and got it stamped, notarized, and whatever. Gave it to my husband. Recently, you know, gave a copy to my son. Recently, you know, gave a copy to my sister. Because, number one, I don't want to have any infighting, not that people would fight over me, but, you know, just this is what I want. I don't want to be connected to a machine. You know, and like a will, when people, you know, when they have wills, some people, you know, make sure that, especially if they're siblings, they draw out a will to make sure that there's no fighting over who's going to get what, because it's already predetermined. So there's no fighting, whatever. And I think, you know, a DNR is the same thing. And I don't think you're ever too young to have one, especially if you have a family, especially if you have children. These are things that, in my opinion, again, you need to think about. Even if you're single, living by yourself, do you leave it on the kitchen table? Do you give it to a friend? So people know. Because any one of us, for whatever reason, can drop dead at any moment, can have a stroke at any moment, hit by a car, bus, whatever, and be put in a situation where we are not able to speak for ourselves and let people know what we want and what we don't want. Lou says, now that I listen to this show, I have no one in charge if something happens to me. Brina says, as hard as sad as it sounds, one of the best things you can do for your loved ones is plan for your death. Yes, absolutely. Brina says, I got super emotional when preparing my will. It's tough to even think about. Brina, it is. You know, we have done our will. We did our will years ago. We make changes every so often when, you know, life events happen, you know, whatever. But, and again, I say, especially if you have children, you know, it's important. Because are you going to be in a situation where if something happens to you, are, you know, is your husband or your wife going to be fighting with your siblings? Is your husband or your wife going, or your siblings, if you're not married, are your siblings going to be fighting, you know, with each other? Over what they're going to do. Welcome, Dr. Ninja Man. You know, are they going to be fighting with each other over what should be done with you? I mean, you look at somebody like James Brown. It took him almost a year to get buried because they were fighting over him. You look at, it wasn't Dick Clark. It was, the other guy that did the music show. I cannot think of his name, but the children were fighting with the stepmother. hey, crazy, welcome. You know, more than a year. You know, do you want to be in a situation where, you know, you can't even get buried because your in-laws are fighting with each other, or your children are fighting with each other, or the children's fighting with the step-parents, whatever? You know, you need to be prepared. So if Terri Schiavo had a DNR, even though she was 26 years old when she had her stroke, if she had that DNR, Governor Bush would not have been involved. Appeals of court for the public opinion. In fact, no one would have probably have even known who she was, because the DNR was there. And that was it. And Blunt says, Sabrina, I was just researching doing a will last night. That's crazy. Good to get it out of the way, though. My kids are all set, Lou says. Did that months ago. Blunt says, I totally agree, Fair. Thanks, I'm being morbid. No, Fair, you aren't. Casey Kasem. Yes, Casey Kasem. That was who I was thinking of. Casey Kasem. Yes, Dr. Ninja Man. Thank you very much. Casey Kasem was the one that was that the children were fighting with the stepmother. So you guys are saying hey to crazy. DNR is do not resuscitate. You know, and even if you go into the hospital for, let's just say you're just going in to get a mole removed, or you're going in, you know, just to get this real quick, you know, outpatient surgery, then all of a sudden something goes wrong, because we've all heard about stuff. You just going in really quick for this, and then you didn't come out. Or you went in for something simple, and all of a sudden, you know, you're on life support. I mean, do you go every, you know, when you go into the hospital, should you have that DNR? Sure. And if it's not a DNR, do you have something where you are telling, you know, your, you know, you have that living will, do you, where you're telling, you know, the people around you, don't do this. This is what I want. Should that be something that hospitals should automatically give? Should it be something that, you know, just out of habit, you always have an extra copy? Dr. Ninja says, sad to say, they're still fighting over where he should. Yes, they are. And Casey Kasem has been dead for what? How long? 5, 6, 7 years? And Lou says, I don't trust the medical system anywhere. Dr. Ninja says, I went for basic surgery and I wind up having a respiratory distress and put in ICU. And Dr. Ninja, you know, that's another thing, because now we have these super bugs that MRSA, MRSA is one of the worst things that you can get in a hospital, because now, you know, the what they're using to kill bacteria with is no longer working. And a lot of people who go to hospitals now are coming back with these bacterial illnesses that do attack the respiratory system. And they do put you in ICU. Hey, serial killer bugs. Hey, Lou, hey. You know, so, I mean, so again, you look at the Terri Schiavo case. Did her parents, I mean, they have the right. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but should they have intervened? Should they have stepped in where her husband should have been the one to say yes or no? Now, if her husband was trying to kill her or something, well, then no. But if it's just done out of, you know, I don't want my wife to die like this. I don't want her, you know, to live like this. I think her parents were being selfish. Lou says, family is family. They have a right. Yes, but Lou, but how much of a right do they have? Does that mean that your family is always going to have a say-so in whatever you do? Is your family going to have a say-so that, you know, you want to send your child to this school or you're going to practice this particular faith and somebody in the family says, well, no, I'm Methodist and how dare you, you know, want them to be this or that? I mean, seriously. Does family, when you say family is family, do family have a right to name your children? I mean, you have people in the family where there are serious fights when there's a baby born and it's like, how come you didn't name it after Aunt Ethel or Grandma Sarah? Well, because this is the name that we picked out. And, you know, I mean, there's fights over stuff like that. And Dr. Ninja says, well, as long as you're not meant to be competent, then your family has the right to make decisions for you. But again, Dr. Ninja, what if you're married? What about your husband? What about your wife? Do they just get kicked to the curb? Because technically, your husband and wife have final say. And Brina says, I can't understand their family wanting to give their concerns, true, but ultimately she was married, so care transfers to her hubby. Yes. And let's see, mentally, and Blunt agrees with Brina. Brina, Crazy says, if you don't want anybody to make a decision for you, you need to do that before that time. But Crazy, what we were saying was with Terry Schiavo, at the age of 26, she just literally one day just dropped. She had a massive stroke. So most 26-year-olds are not thinking about wills, DNRs, you know, living wills. They're not thinking about that. You're right. They should be. They should be, and it's not morbid and crazy, exactly, and that's what we said. If you have kids, you should for sure. Because any one of us may not make it to tomorrow. There are people in this world who are not going to make it to the next half hour. So what do you want to leave behind? Do you want to leave behind chaos and bad feelings and fighting and lawyers and governors and Supreme Courts? Or is this something that you should take care of now? And the only other people who really don't have a say-so on that are children. But I would not want my child to live by a machine. My child, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, whatever. I would not want my child, if I knew that there was absolutely no way that my child was coming back, because that's not him. That's not who he is. And I would be selfish to want to keep him going just because I don't want to say goodbye. But he said goodbye months ago, years ago, last week. You know, so let's see. Dr. Ninja says the only thing worried about death is not being prepared for it and preparing your loved ones for it. So, hey, Crazy.
Howdy. I know I'm way late, so probably chiming in on what's already been said. The only thing I was going to say, like, my dad had a DNR. My dad had a DNR from the time I was little. He had been telling us since we were little, or me, because I'm the baby. All my halflings, because I don't have any, I'm an only child, all my halflings were all generation ahead of me. And he told me, he was like, you guys better never. He goes, when it happens, you let me be. My dad didn't want to live on a machine. He didn't want to be taken care of by others. So my dad had it all planned out. When it came down to it, he was also a Vietnam veteran. So obviously there was some planning with that, because he's buried in a veteran's lot up in Wisconsin. But he knew not necessarily what nursing home he could go to, but even like the ones in the area and stuff, when he modified his will towards the end and yada, yada. Cremated, didn't want to be buried, none of that. All happened because that's the way he intended it to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you, I got scared a couple times, because when my dad had a choking condition, I have the same condition actually, but it knocks you out, like you pass out usually before you come to. And I remember one night that shit happened, and I used to tell my dad, I was like, that's not fair for you to have a DNR on something that simple. And that's because I didn't read, you know, I was young, I didn't really think, but I was like, but I told him, I was like, what if you were just choking on a sandwich? What if you were just, you know, you're not, I understand a DNR at the later on in life when you don't want to be, you know, invalid or whatever it is, but why now? You know? And he was just like, look, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And I don't want to be brought back, you know? So.
Well, you know what? You make a good point, but let me read these comments, because you make a good point about something. Christian says, getting life insurance gave me peace of mind for the future. Getting a will done is the next thing I have to do. Dr. Ninja says, Blunt is saying hello to Frankie. Dr. Ninja says, artist decisions that my family and I had to make. Oh, hardest decision was that my family and I had to make, letting my dad go. My dad had cancer. One of his last wishes was that he be a vegetable. Would not be a vegetable and just let him go, and that he didn't want to live like a vegetable. Hey, Shy Lady, welcome. Crazy, you bring up a very good point, because what if you are choking, you know, you're out eating, and for whatever reason, you know, that piece of food didn't go down right. So is it your time to go? Or, I mean, when people say, if it's your time to go, it is your time to go, which I believe, but is it your time to go if you're choking on a
not on a sandwich? On,
right. This is what I'm saying. You know? So do you think your father would have been upset if he was choking on a sandwich and you gave him
some? I'm not going to stop him. Here's the thing, like, I knew that he had DNR from the time he was little, but I'm going to tell you that if it wasn't something where I knew he could come out of it without, you know, without some kind of issue, I'm not going to tell them that. Now, he did have the DNR on his person, in his wallet, so I think for other reasons, by the way, you know, it was kind of like, well, if I go, just leave me alone kind of thing also for him.
Okay, but let's say.
But I wouldn't stop them, is what I'm saying. Like, if they came in there and I knew he had the DNR and they're, because they don't check wallets, you know what I'm saying? That's not what they check. Right. So if they start, if they bring him back, I don't care if he's upset. Now, I would never, because his wishes were not to be brought back. I don't really know if, you know, I don't think that's what he meant, you know, if I'm joking on the sandwich, but, you know, he was just, you know, my dad was extra when he started talking about that stuff, because he didn't like to talk about it. He was just like, no, and if it is what it is, it is what it is. So in my mind, I was always like, yeah, if I know that the other side of him coming out of that is not going to be good for him and that's not the way he's going to want to live, I will honor that. But if it is not, I will not.
Okay. All right. See, because again, you know, when I look at the Terry Schiavo case, I just think that her parents were extremely selfish to want to keep her alive. I think that her husband had the ultimate say-so. And even if it were reverse, if he wanted to keep her alive and her parents wanted to pull the plug, even though he did still have the ultimate say, I think it would have been I think it's selfish for anyone to want to keep someone alive if you know that they're going to live in a vegetative state, because that's not living. And if anything, I think that's, and I'm going to say something that may piss some people off. I think it's almost humiliating to the person that you're trying to keep alive.
I mean that
you're forcing them to live like this. So when they finally, you know, when Michael Schiavo went back and, you know, and they struck down what Governor Butch did and said, no, the feeding tube can come back out if that's what her husband wants. And he took it out. She starved to death. She lived for 14 days starving to death. Now, I don't know what she felt, but at the same time, if they had let her die 7 years earlier, she would have just passed on. So I just think that it's humiliating to even have someone live like that. You know, and I know people are going to say, well, God says this.
Selfish.
God, you know, but I think that that's selfish.
No. Can't be God. God doesn't put feeding tubes. If you can't feed yourself, that's no longer God. That's intervention. And that's the I don't believe that. I don't want to hear that. I'm sorry. That triggered me because I had an argument with somebody about this and talking about, well, God wanted. No, because you just said it. You said if they had let her die 7 years ago, she would have passed on, right? It would have been, but you decided to prolong it for your benefit. God had nothing to do with that. Because if you took her natural stuff and left her in a natural state, she would pass. That's the God state, not on machines, not tubes, not you force feeding her or anything else. And I don't know enough about the case to like really get deep into it. I was kind of reading on it, but I do remember it. And for freaking governments and all that stuff, that's why? Why? Well, for what? Like, let the woman, like, that's...
Okay,
I would never want to live like that. I mean,
I'm telling you, I would never want to live like that, and I would never want my child to live like that.
So, yes.
And I know my husband, we've already talked about it. No. And so let me ask this, because you also brought up something else, but let me read what Dr. Ninja says. He says, there's two types of death in this world, unavoidable death and avoidable death. So my question is this. So we have Terry Schiavo, who had a stroke. Two months later after the stroke, it was like, she's not going to come out of this. She is in a vegetative state. Her brain is not functioning. You need to just let her go. And then that's when all of the fighting started. Now, let's say you have those parents who say, their child is very sick. Hey, son, their child is very sick. They won't take them to the doctor. They're praying over them. You know, they're taking them down to the doula down the street, you know, whatever. Oh, she's going to take care of it. We don't believe in doctors. We don't believe in this. We don't believe in that. Is there a difference between the courts intervening in something like that as opposed to the courts intervening in something like Terry Schiavo? Or is it that fine line, that variable?
So, man, boy, that's a tough one, because in Terry Schiavo's case, where the courts were being summoned to keep her alive, right?
Yes.
That's what they were involved for. It had nothing else to do with they wanted to keep her alive. They were strictly working on law. They're not emotionally involved in that. You know what I'm saying? They were going on law, and you know our laws are messed up. So...
But technically back then, Terry Schiavo's case was actually the first one to really start talking about the right to die. So the laws weren't really on the books. It was more, this is what I think. And Governor Bush did what he felt. So it wasn't a law. It was just what he felt.
I think as far as like, do they get involved with the ones that the parents don't want to take the kids to the doctor, but the aunt or uncle or somebody or whoever is like, oh, they're sick. They could be cured by this, but you're stupid. I'm going to sue you. That's a little tough for me because, like, I'll be honest with you, if I knew that somebody was curable by intervention, because realize that those people think that God's going to make magic, right? Or whatever they believe, right, is going to cure whatever. What they don't understand that is that if there is another way to cure something, that's also a gift from God. And I don't think people understand that. If somebody else's hands can cure somebody else from something that they have, you know what I'm saying, a doctor, whatever it is, that's a gift. That's a gift that was given to them to give to other people when they get sick. So when I personally believe that, I'm sorry that I know that people are going to hate this, but I believe that a parent should be forced by hand to take that child to a doctor, because at least once, you know what I mean? Like, just confirm, because I don't know. That's such a tough one for me, because I don't like for people to come out and have, you know, saying people's kids and whether they, how they treated them. But if some of them children could have been saved, some of the people, not just children, but people could have been saved. I believe in holistic medicine. I believe in herbs and all that's like all the things, right? All the things combined, but there are just some things that are beyond that. And
okay,
I think,
So let me ask, if this same 6-year-old child did not have an injury or a disease or something that they should have gone to the doctor for, let's say they broke their leg. Again, same parents, don't believe in doctors. They set the leg themselves. Child stayed off the leg, did everything he was supposed to do, but the bone didn't set quite right, and the child is now limping. Can you look at that? Can social services come in and say, well, you did this to your child when you should have taken them to the doctor to have their leg set?
I think that the parent thought they were doing the right thing. And I'm not, you know, I mean, I know parents, there are some out there that probably do it properly and better than some doctors. Cause how do you know that you went to the doctor and the doctor didn't do the same thing? Happens all the time. So, I don't think that they should get in trouble for it. If the child is happy and healthy otherwise, and was not neglected and was not, you know, do I wish they would take them to someone that's a professional? Sure. Do I think that they should take their child away when their child's happy and healthy and they may have a limp? Because who are you going to sue for that? Like, let's say the doctor did that, right? If the doctor did that to your child, you could sue the crap out of them, because now your child has a forever limp. And they can't do the things you thought they were going to do, right? So who do you sue when the parents do that? Or who do you get mad at?
But look at what Dr. Ninja just said. That's called child abuse. So he's saying that the parents were abusive. But there are some doctors, and I have on my husband's side of the family, a child was born by a doctor that was drunk, and the child came out mentally disabled. Lived, I do believe she passed when she was 16. But again, it was something that her parents, mainly her mom, you know, took care of her for 16 years. Is that a abuse? Would it have been different if the child had been born at home? You know,
I'm not saying if the kid, if they broke the kid's leg, I'm saying,
I
don't want the kid to be in pain. Should they be, should something happen? Your kid probably should have been under, but they don't always put kids under to set their stuff. They don't always put people under to set their stuff. You're just not qualified by what? A license?
Right.
To set
right.
a broken bone? Right. Because they right. teach you that in Girl Scouts. They teach you that in ball. How many? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
How many
yes.
people out there have had to set bones and now that's that they're in the wild? So I'm just saying, look.
You're right.
I get it. I understand. I don't believe that's child abuse. I believe child abuse would be not even messing with and letting the child suffer for days, not right. taking them to the hospital and then whatever. But if maybe they were scared to death, I don't know. You know, I'm just putting out some kind of weird scenario.
Also, you also have to remember this. You go to the hospital, to the ER, you're sitting there for 4 and 5 hours right. anyway, and you can die.
So yeah, I'm just saying, the possibilities don't change just because someone has a license to practice.
Right,
so
right,
that's my only thing. I'm not saying for people to go out and set in their children's broken bones, okay? But I believe that I'm not saying that something shouldn't go through some hey that's probably not your best practice, and you know, I don't know. Try to encourage them to take them to the hospital, because what if something really did happen? But what if they were in the middle of the woods? Is that the same scenario? So yeah. I don't know. That's where you get me at, you know, kind of like, well, I wouldn't attempt that, you know, because I wouldn't have the guts and the, you know, like I would be scared to death. But if someone did it and, you know, what if that child would have came out with a limp if they went to the hospital? What if what's the difference? I don't know. So I have experience with something that happened to my son when he was born. He got Erb's palsy from the way they delivered him, because he was 9.5 pounds, 9 pounds, 8 ounces to be exact. And he was 3 weeks early and he wasn't ready. And they pulled him and pulled him and pulled him, and they caused an injury to it. Well, I had no idea that was a suitable effect. I thought that they made me believe that that was something that just happened to babies. And by the time that I realized what actually happened and that I could have sued him, it was already beyond the limit.
Okay, Dr. Ninja says you're trying to make a gray line. There is no gray line when it comes to a person's welfare.
I just gave you quite a few gray lines, actually, unfortunately. I mean,
but Dr. Ninja, there is, and thank you, Frankie, thank you very much for the gift.
That's why I give examples, because, like, I get it.
I mean, I understand what Dr. Ninja is saying, but, I mean, mm-hmm. is it going to be, just because you don't take your child to the doctor, is that abuse? Are you... I mean, if you're, you know, like Crazy just said, Girl Scouts, you know, Boy Scouts, you learn how to set legs or, you know, supposed
you sure
to,
do.
You know, whatever, you know, but what if you are out camping, you know, and you set your child's leg and, you know, you can't get back to the, you know, to a town with a doctor, you know, whatever, too. You know, I mean, so, that's, and see, this is going to be a whole different show, but that's when you have people who are being accused of child abuse when it really wasn't.
Right.
You know, but if you're really trying and, you know, again, if you just, your child broke their leg, you're like, oh, be quiet, go somewhere and sit down, and they're crying, and days go by and you're like, you know, you're still not doing anything. That's abuse. But if you just, because you don't believe in doctors, and you have a lot of people who don't believe in doctors.
And they get trained in medical training, you guys. There's people that get trained in certain things because they don't want to go to doctors.
This is true.
So I'm just saying that you said there's no gray line, but there's a perfect gray line saying someone sitting in their house, their kid, you know, on the back porch breaks their leg. You said it because maybe you know how, and then... You know, or you don't want to go to the doctor. You said it. You never know. You're still tossing a coin. Doesn't matter who does the setting. You're still tossing a coin. The difference is, of course, we don't want the kids to be in pain. And hell yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt either way. And you can still get medicine for it. All I'm saying is there's definitely a gray area, and there's a different separation of what's abuse, what's absolute neglect versus someone who's, they're they just, that's how they believe. That's what they believe. If we're not allowed to believe what we believe, then, you know, I'm just saying. I wouldn't, if my friend did that, I would probably be like, listen, friend, I love you. You know, like, I love how you did that or you whatever. But, you know, like, I would be like, hey, I'll take you there. But also, would my friend have the right to get mad at me for trying to force him to take him to the doctor?
Yeah. Now, Lou says, my youngest son had malpractice done to him numerous times. Okay. And not once could find a lawyer to defend him. You know, so just to go back to the DNR thing, because I am going to keep the show at an hour. should we get to the point where everyone has a DNR? Because as I said, I have my medical thing. I have all that. I have all that laid out. I don't want wills, everything. I don't want anybody fighting. I don't want anybody doing this. I don't want anybody doing that. Should it be where you are 18 years old that you look into having a DNR?
I think people should be taught about it. I think people should be educated very early about wills, DNRs, what it means, why you should or shouldn't. I really think it should be some basic living education. And I know we don't get it. We don't get it. Nobody tells about this stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying, like, listen, I'm highly always on the fence because I can't get over the variables in anything. There's so many in anything you look at. It's so rare that there is a straight line from point A to point B. So rare. You know what I'm saying? And most people is the ignorance is what keeps them from being prepared for something like that. I have life insurance, but I have to get on myself because I have an incomplete plan of, you know, end of life plan. So so I need to get on that too. And I should have been more diligent about it years ago because having a child makes it different. You know,
and, so. You know, crazy, and that is true. Nancy, welcome. You know, that is true because when you have children, it does make a difference. When my son was younger, one thing that I always did, and I still do, is carry a first aid kit in my car. And I'm not talking about a little small first aid kit with band-aids and stuff. I mean, I have tourniquets in my car. I have literally, if you fall out of a helicopter.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I mean, splints, everything, because you just don't know. And you know, change of clothes. You know, I mean, it's like you just don't know what is going to happen. You look at some people, you pop their trunk, and all they have back there is maybe something to change a spare tire.
Maybe.
A lot of people have the blanket? Do you, I mean, and it sounds funny, and I have said this to people, and people think it's boring. People think it's, oh no, you know, solid, oh whatever. But it's like, are you prepared? Because a lot of people aren't. Because I'm telling you, if we're caught in a snowstorm, or if it's a heat wave and we're in the middle of the desert, whatever, don't ask to share my blanket because I came prepared. Don't ask for my water because I, now that I have my tumbler, don't take away from me because you were told and you should have and you didn't.
I was raised off the grid. So
again, that is where the DNRs and all that stuff. Are you prepared? You know, when something, you know, I don't know. And then I just want to say one last thing about the will thing. I would say that even though Prince passed away with like $300 million, no will, I have to say that his family, you know, his half siblings or whatever came together, said, we're not going to fight. We're going to split this five ways, went to court, got it done, and it was done. It was none of that. We're going to see. But it very well could have been where they ended up paying the attorneys, and the attorneys ended up with half of the $300 million instead of them getting, you know, whatever. It's like, so, you know, you have to, everybody's family is not going to be like that. And I was impressed that it was like, wow, they went in there and they were adults, whatever. So again, with the wills and the DNRs, may sound like a broken record, but I'm just going to say, you are irresponsible, especially if you're a parent and you're not prepared for your child to be able to if something happens to you, where they know what you want to do, so you do not have your children dealing with court and trying to pay attorneys, because attorneys are expensive as hell, or having you have to be transferred to county because you don't have something done. That's just me. Janelle, wow. Welcome. So I'm sorry, Crazy, you want to say something?
No. I was just going to say, I was going to bring up that there was a celebrity, and God, I don't know why I can't remember the name, super famous. Not too long ago, where his family, it basically just took forever, and it was all up in the news. It was a singer, like an oldies singer guy. What the freak was his name, bro?
Well, they already said that Casey Kasem is still someone. That
no, not him, but over. That's another one. That's another one too.
I mean, seriously, crazy,
nuts. That doesn't make any sense. And I'm glad that Prince's family, because you know what? I sure didn't hear a lot about that, about Prince and the whole thing. It was over and dealt with pretty quickly and quietly. Yep. So, but yeah, no, I think that, I personally think that all the family shouldn't be allowed to say shit anyways. It should be only immediate family, but.
And that's what it was. And the thing about Prince's family, not only did they do it like adults, they also came together and said, we're not going to sell Paisley Park. We're going to open it up to his fans. And that's what they did, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's you know, I mean, you have people who are still fighting over Elvis Presley and the whole Graceland thing.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
I mean, seriously, the man's been gone since, what, 1970-something, 76, whatever, you know, and you're still fighting years later. So, you know, I don't want people fighting over stuff that, you know, it's like, this is what it is. And that's it. And I see why you have people who say, you know what, I'm giving all my stuff to science. I'm giving away all my stuff to the museum or whatever, because their family is crazy.
And then they get mad, but man, that's karma. That's karma right there. That's that karma that you acted that way. You didn't deserve anything. And you know what? Good for them. Good for them for doing that. Because a lot of people wouldn't. They, you know, whatever. Don't leave it to nobody. If you can't appreciate it, you don't deserve it. None of ya.
Well, all I know is I have my DNR. I do not want to live like a vegetable. I do not want to be put in the position, or my family to be put in a position where they are paying ridiculous medical bills. I want to be cremated. I mean, everything is laid out, you know. But again, that's just me.
Yeah, I need to get more on it. But yeah, I agree. And that's something that I want to make sure. I've talked to my son about it. He's in his 20s, but I'm like, look, man. But they leave that up to the parents. And if your parents don't talk to you about it, you learn about it way sometimes too late. Yeah. But there's always I personally think it just should be, there's a lot of things that they don't talk about that they should be talking about, at least touching as people exit high school. That's just my thoughts on that.
No, you're right. You're right. Because they're going from childhood to adulthood. Yeah. So before I end, I want to give a shameless plug, and y'all have heard me say this like for the last 2 weeks. So, but I'm going to say it again. And you know, and some of y'all are just probably going to shake your head and crazy. I know you're going to laugh, but I'm going to give a shameless plug out to Crazy at her Tumblrs. I'm sorry. I just like these tumblers so much. And for my holiday bazaar that I was part of, I mean, it helped me, you know, they were selling, they became part of my thing. And I'm just telling y'all that, you know, yeah. So that's just my shameless plug to Crazy.
I appreciate it. I love that. I've gotten a lot of feedback, and it's been all good stuff. And I appreciate it. I'm about to start town halls, so we're about to ramp up and get new stuff, get into the glass business, see how that goes.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I'm just saying.
But yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I like that. I like that they, you know, because they came out real nice. Your tumblers really did. So I appreciated that. And I'm so glad it worked out the way it did, the way we thought it would.
Well, more business will be coming your way, because you have definitely given me more business with your tumblers.
Thank you.
So everyone, now that I've given a shameless plug to Crazy, I am going to go out with, Brandy is not one of my favorite artists, but I do like this song. So I thought this was appropriate for this song, or for this particular topic, and that is Missing You. So here's Brandy with, I do believe, Gladys Knight, and I can't remember who the other one was. But anyway, here we go.
Though I'm missing you, I'll find a way to get through. My strength and my pride, only God may know why. Still, I will get by. Who would've known that you'd have to go so suddenly, so fast? How could it be? Not a sweet memory.
Sing with.
And that's it, everyone. I will. I'm sorry, TQ. I had to say that. That just popped in my head. I hope to see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And thank you very much for the likes and crazy. Thank you for popping up on the panel. So, everyone, enjoy your day or evening wherever you are in the world. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.